Let's talk about it. Hey everybody. Well, as promised, 2-for-1 special at the beginning of the week this week. It's my regular check-in episode, you know. You know how I do. Sometimes I just these episodes definitely don't get as much traction as my guest episodes. They don't get even close to as many listens or anything like that, but these are kind of just like a little therapy session for me, just when I need to get things off my chest and I don't want to burden another person with having to be a part of the conversation, you know? Sometimes I think it's valuable to express a complete thought, and I think that sometimes having a guest on removes that ability. It's rare, but it does happen. If you haven't checked it out already, at the same time that this episode is coming out, an episode with my wife Rachel is coming out. We had so much fun doing it. It was good for us, you know, to sit down and really talk through a lot of, you know, we haven't been married for that long, but whatever advice we can give to someone who is going into marriage. So today, I've been thinking about this episode for a very long time, since before I even started the show, and I've been trying to approach it properly. And today I sort of had an epiphany on how I think I want to do this. What I want to talk about is the Christian church. And I think the correct way for me to do this is to first come to you guys, just me, and then from there, maybe bring other people into the conversation. But there's a very good chance with this episode, and I want to forewarn you, that I might just start kind of going off the rails. It's something I'm very passionate about, and sometimes that passion is not positive. So I need you to understand that before you listen to this, because it is important for you to know that. So what I would like to do, like I said, I want to talk to you about my feelings, and if what I say is something that you disagree with, I want to open this up to anyone who is interested in coming on the show to present a counterpoint. I think, I hope I should say, that I've made it clear through this show that I'm open to new ideas and new ways of thinking. I definitely have my own opinions, but with new data, with new credible data, my opinions change. And I hope that's a theme. I desperately hope that's a theme that carries on throughout the rest of my life, because I think that is so important to growth, that one, you stick to your guns, but also when someone provides you with factual data, that you're willing to change your opinion. I think that's so important. So again, have mercy on me as I discuss this, because it's something that can get me heated at times, more so than really any other topic. I've been raised in the church since I was born. My parents were at church every Sunday, which I respect immensely. They believed that it was important to attend a church service every week. I was in Sunday school. I very much consider myself to be someone who believes in God and believes that He is someone who calls you to a certain way of living. I very much believe that, and I want that to be clear right now. Do I call myself a Christian? I would be honest and say it depends on the social circles, because I think that word has become contorted to mean something that it shouldn't mean. I think the more I learn from scripture and the more I learn from history, the more I can't identify with people who call themselves Christians. So a lot of times when people ask me if I'm a Christian, or if it comes up in conversation, I typically won't offer the phrase, yeah, I'm a Christian. It usually looks something more like, well, I believe in the Bible and I believe in God. Because I think there's more value to that than identifying with a religious organization. And I think that's what that term Christian has become. And I want to dig into that today. But I just wanted to make sure you understood where I was coming from. as we get into this. So, again, raised in the church that I went to, I would call it a good church. However, around my early teen years, the pastor of that church is a fairly large church, to be clear. The pastor of that church became a drug addict and then overdosed and had a stroke and was removed from leadership. And I think it would be fair to say that that was the first point where I learned that people are very, very flawed, and that whatever impression of themselves people present to you, that it is often inaccurate. And that requires two things. One, it requires you to have a certain amount of grace towards other people, because much like you, they are not perfect. But also, you should not trust another person fully most of the time, especially an authority figure, because those are the people who are most prone to making significant mistakes. I'm trying to be very careful about how I say this, because this is a subject that a lot of people close to me could easily misunderstand and take what I'm saying to mean something that I don't mean. Anyways, I continued to be at that church for a long time, but through most of my teen years, I started to very much analyze the hypocrisy and the whole structure of things after that happened. And when I met Rachel, I started going to her church. Very much the same ideologies and viewpoints as the church that I had grown up in. However, it was significantly smaller. I also feel that the pastor of that church had a much more... the history of Scripture was very important to him, which I appreciated because I very much love history. I don't like to just hear fun stories. I like to know how they relate to the timeline of human existence. That's so much more beneficial to me. I want to hear it in real terms. You know, I don't want to hear a nice story. So, again, that was a good experience. If you've listened already to the episode with Rachel and I, then you'll know that I had some issues with the youth group that we were in there. I feel like they weren't supportive of us as people because we were dating. And I think that made my view of the church very negative at that time. Very negative, I would say. I felt like it was an authoritarian system that wanted to oppress my freedom, and freedom is something that I value. And that's something that I respond to, is when I think I'm in a situation where my freedom is being compromised, I typically react negatively. I had a very improper view of both Scripture and also the church at that time, in my opinion. Rachel and I got married. We wanted to start going to kind of our own church, form our own relationships and things like that. So we started going to another church. I want to be very careful here to not mention the names of any of these churches, because these are just my opinions. They're not necessarily the opinions of a large group of people or anything like that, so I don't want to just besmirch the names of any of these organizations that I attended. Some of you may know what these churches were. You know, in terms of like social media around this podcast, I'd appreciate it if you just keep the names out of it. Because, you know, I'd hate to flame some church on this show. That's not what this is about. Anyways, we started attending another church. It was definitely a younger church. There was a lot of money being spent on the production of the worship primarily. It was very much a concert, which is something that you see a lot with emerging churches. You know, even some of the larger ones like Elevation, Bethel, where there's a very big budget for worship. And then the preaching, in my opinion, tends to be more topical and kind of out of a can, I guess you'd say, which isn't necessarily a negative thing. You know, I think those can be inspiring sermons, but it was very much lighter on the history and I guess sort of the parts of preaching that I really appreciated, which were the facts and the details. You know, maybe I'm cynical, but I don't appreciate some guy standing in front of me telling me to just be nice to my neighbor. Not that that's not valuable, but I'd much rather hear about a historically proven event that encapsulated the importance of being good to your neighbor or something like that. You understand what I'm saying. I like facts. I like details. I like, I like more concrete concepts than just sort of like, now if we look at this verse and this other random verse and this other random verse, you can see that you should be nice to people. I don't appreciate that, really. And I felt like that's all that church had to offer. Now, I want to be clear about this as well. I was very invested in the group of people that went to that church. I tried to implant myself in the leadership as much as possible. I was serving on the worship team every weekend, every month for a year straight. And I at that time also, you know, you also hear about this in the episode with Rachel. I started working for a company that the owner of that company had been with the church that I attended from the start. And the company that he owned built AV systems for churches primarily. And through working for him, I put my foot in the door at a lot of churches, and I was able to speak candidly with a lot of staff in those churches. And that very quickly changed my mindset around what church was. Again, I should mention at this time, I also left the church that Rachel and I had been attending because basically I felt like we were being dramatically taken advantage of. And I felt that it was disgusting. And I think the most telling thing about that is the minute I left, 95% of the what I consider to be very good relationships that I made there just disappeared like smoke, as if they never existed. It was one of the, to this day, it was one of the most bizarre things that's ever happened in my life. And I didn't know that people could be like that, so impersonal and so superficial. Again, I consider these relationships to be very meaningful, but clearly that was not the case. I'm looking around for my lighter because I forgot to light some incense. I feel like a loser. No incense during the podcast. What is this? And I started to realize very quickly that churches nowadays, big or small, expository or... I don't want to get too lofty for people who aren't versed in the church world. There's essentially two main styles of preaching. One is called topical, where you find random verses in scripture that support the topic that you want to present. Be nice to people. Here's verses from random places in scripture that support that. And then there's expository, which is where you say, okay, here is a section of scripture that we are going to read through and learn about. Both views are fairly elitist, and they consider the other style of teaching to be incorrect, is something that you'll find in the church. Now, I started to realize that the church, either type of church, any size, all suffered from a problem where the closest thing that they represented was the same church that had 99 complaints nailed to the door by Martin Luther. They were organizations focused on marketing and brand loyalty, which is a completely incorrect view of how the church should operate as is outlined by Scripture. The Bible is very clear that the church is a group of people and it is not a building. A meeting place was only ever created to make it more convenient for the church to meet and learn and worship together. And over time, it's become this disgusting tabernacle, Catholic church, buy your way into heaven kind of an organization that I am so against vehemently. It is, I acknowledge the benefit of going to church in the way of hearing from a pastor, but I feel disgusted when I walk into a church because all I see are people quietly high-fiving themselves, patting themselves on the back for showing up at their special meeting place where they're this person. Oh, that's so-and-so. He comes to church here. It's a disgusting mindset that will either destroy Christianity or transform it into a truly superficial, non-biblical organization, in my opinion. Because this idea that the meeting place is the church, that you go to the church, it's disgusting. And that a church is not a place for discussion or true relationships, but it's a place where you show up and you appear to be a good person and you pretend to be friends with this person and that person because they go to church with you. It's so wrong. The building is not the church. You are the church. your friends that also believe in God, they're the church. When you're fellowshipping with them, you're at church because you are church. The meeting place, the building was only ever supposed to make it more convenient. And I'm sick of this concept that these churches have developed that you have to become a member at our church and you have to serve here because this is your church now. This is your home church. It's so wrong. It's so wildly wrong. The idea of a membership at a church, I don't know who came up with that. I don't know how he wasn't laughed at. I don't know how he wasn't beaten. It's so disgusting and it's so wrong in comparison to what the Bible teaches. You know, you look at the people that were closest to Christ in the scripture, the disciples. What did they do? They traveled around and they preached in different places. They preached to all kinds of people. They didn't go to a specific meeting place as a guest speaker for that Sunday. They lived their belief and they spoke anywhere they could because they acknowledged that the people were church. They didn't have to go to the special building. And yeah, I understand that the building just makes it more convenient, but that's not the case. The mindset has changed. You know, in most people's minds, especially younger Christians, the building is church and you go to church. And it's just so wildly wrong. And what disgusts me the most is how this has all just turned into a cash grab. You know, most pastors, whether they're cognizant of it or not, are just businessmen who are trying to get your money because they know that on a religious level, they have every right to ask you for 10% of your annual earnings. And I'm not against tithing. I want to be clear about that. The Bible is clear about giving of your tithes and offerings. I don't think that always is monetary. I think sometimes the giving of your time for free is very much the same as giving a check or dropping cash in the offering plate, the tithe collection tool. But these pastors are, it's brand loyalty. They're like, all right, you come to our church, I make you a member. Now you're tied in here. Now I get 10% of your money forever. And if you don't give me that 10%, I'm going to have to preach a difficult message. And then you'll feel bad about the fact that you're not giving me 10%, even though you're struggling to make ends meet. This isn't about you. This is about me because I have to pay my salary. That's the other disgusting thing that's happened is seminary school. These pastors go to a school that has a very lofty view of itself. And they make themselves believe that because they've gone to this class or whatever and heard from this guy who's supposed to be so smart, that now they understand scripture on a level that you don't. So it's not even worth discussing with other people. You can, if you want to hear what I think about scripture, you can come and hear me preach. It's disgusting. Where else in scripture has preaching been a full-time job? It's not. It's something that certain people are called to do, something that certain people are gifted at. But the fact that people, I went to seminary school and I got a 4-year degree or however many year degree. And so now I'm going to come to this meeting place and you're going to pay me a healthy salary to talk to you once a week and organize the meeting place, potentially. What? It's so backwards. And people are unwilling to contemplate how it might be wrong because that's how they were raised and that's how they were taught to that things are supposed to be. And it's just, I can't deal with it anymore. The hypocrisy in the whole thing is ridiculous. I mean, prime example. I cannot remember the last time I went into a church that didn't sell something. Now, with some, it's very obvious. They sell t-shirts and literal merch. Other churches, they sell books or what. There is a very definitive point in scripture where Jesus walks into a church, a tabernacle, and people are selling things in the, you know, quote-unquote lobby. And he went wild. He kicked over tables and went nuts and started screaming. And you know, they obviously were trying to figure out what was wrong. And he said something that's so powerful to me where he said, my Father's house is not a marketplace. It's such a fundamental thing in Scripture. It's the one time where Jesus goes off and just gets so, he's so livid. And yet, people gloss over that so easily because they got to make money, got to have that profit, right? Got to keep that profit machine going, got to create that brand, got to create that brand loyalty, got to get people wearing your shirts, got to get people who put your sticker on the back of their car so that other people, because they always come up with these ridiculous explanations for why it's necessary. Oh, we're making Jesus famous. Does that sticker say Jesus or does it say the name of your building that you want people to come to and give you 10% of their money? That's what's telling about it right there. When was the last time you saw a sticker that said Jesus? One, that would be pretty ineffective. But two, they're not selling stickers that say Jesus. They're selling stickers that say blank church. It's disgusting. It's disgusting, and the whole system is wrong. I'm not saying there's not any value to it. I'm not saying it can't be reformed. But the organization and the people that are a part of it are so set in their ways that I don't see it ever changing. And so it will all eventually fall apart as a result. And they'll tell themselves that they're going down as martyrs when that's not the case. They will bury their own beliefs, my own beliefs, because they're unwilling to acknowledge the hypocrisy and the systems that they've created over time. And it's saddening. It's so saddening. And there's this other issue that's happening now in the church where, you know, the older congregation, because they're the ones who are most diligently giving 10% of their income, have all the – they're essentially the board of directors for the church. And you see this in every single church. Whoever's giving the most money has the most say. I saw this all the time when I was installing sound systems. You know, you'd say something like, hey, the bass in your system is actually kind of low. It would sound a lot better if you brought the bass up. And they'd be like, sorry, the elderly people won't have it, and they give us the most money, so we kind of have to do whatever they say. There was one church, one of the biggest churches in the area. They would not have their worship music over, I think it was 90 dB, which is fairly quiet for live music. And I asked why, and he said, because the elderly people said they'd leave the church if we don't do it, and they give us about 50% of our income.
What?
It's become so ridiculous. It's not indicative of anything in Scripture anymore. And I think that there's an expiration date on it, and I think it's very soon. I think as soon as the oldest generation dies, I think churches will start to disappear, frankly. You know, maybe some that aren't really churches, but it's more of a concert that you go to once a week to feel good about yourself. Maybe they'll survive for a little while. But eventually they'll have to adapt so that they're not even representing what's in Scripture anymore because it might be controversial. I think it's coming quicker than most people would assume. And while I'm saddened by that because, again, these are beliefs that I hold, despite the fact that I'm saddened that they're largely being represented by these groups, you know, I don't want, you know, I think that my belief system is correct and, you know, I want to share that with others, but how do you tell someone you're a Christian when Christianity has been so besmirched by money-hungry people with no morality? It's truly the biggest struggle in my life is how to approach that because, you know, you're raised to let everyone know that you're a Christian and to essentially lead with that in any interaction you have, but, you know, it's the group as a whole has become so largely incorrect that it's like, how do you identify with that anymore? How can you? You know, what if I don't want to get too abstract here. I think I'm making my point fairly clear. All this being said, I'm very interested to hear what other people have to say. If maybe there's something I haven't considered, these are my feelings that I have struggled for a long time to really express openly. You know, there's a couple people close to me that I've talked about with this. But I would love to hear other people's opinions on this. If you're interested in coming on the show, definitely email me. I'll try my best to make it work. You know, obviously I can't have everyone on the show, but I'll do my very best. I have a good friend named Aaron who's been on the show before. Aaron who was on in the episode with Justin. Not Aaron who was on in the episode with Ryan, but, you know, I was talking about the fact that I would be doing this with him today. He's my gym buddy, and he's interested in coming on and discussing it. And, you know, I don't want to make this a long series or anything like that, but I'm very interested in talking about this with other people because I'm always willing to change my mindset if I'm presented with new evidence. But I feel like the more I learn about the church, the more disgusted I am by it and the more wrong I think it is. So not a super uplifting episode today, but I hope I've made my point clear. If you have any questions, as always, please reach out to me on social media or email me at ltappod.com. I hope you guys have a great week. We'll be back later this week. And if you haven't already heard it, like I said, today you're getting a double dose. So the episode with Rachel is already out there, and we sat down and talked about marriage, and I had a lot of fun with that. So I'd appreciate if you subscribe to the podcast if you're enjoying it. Always leave a review. I appreciate that. It helps me know if you're liking the show. Feel free to follow us on social media, and have a great week.